Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You're listening to Blue Jays Nation Radio
with Cam Lewis and Tyler Yaremchuk,
a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts.
Welcome in to episode 209 of Blue Jays Nation Radio. We've got Coombsy, that is me. We have got producer Brett filling into the analyst spot. I am hosting because I think right now Tyler's flying back from Los Angeles. He flew to LA thinking he's going to watch the Toronto Blue Jays face the Los Angeles Dodgers and didn't realize this was a home series in Toronto and just wandered around the Dodgers Stadium parking lot Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with his arms in the air, trying to figure out where the baseball games were happening. But what did wind up happening was Shohei Ohtani arrived in Toronto and the Dodgers won 2 of 3 from the Blue Jays, a big win on Friday for LA, 12-2, and then a 4-2 win on Saturday. But the Blue Jays salvaged the series with a 3-1 win on Sunday. Brett, what did we think about that series against the mighty LA Dodgers?
It went basically exactly how we thought it would. We were talking about just before we came on. It went basically how we thought it would. The Dodgers bats were, the elite bats were going there. Especially, though, in that last game, the bottom of the lineup really showed how stringent it can kind of be there. But the Dodgers bats just proved to be exactly what we all thought they would be.
Yeah, it's a difficult top of the order to shut down. You got Mookie Betts leading off with at the end of the first game, at the end of Friday, because he went 2 for 3 in that game. After that game, he had an OPS of 1.130, and then right behind him, Shohei Ohtani, 1100 OPS at the end of the game on Friday, of course. In his first at-bat, he's batting second. Top of the first inning, the fans are all booing. Everyone's sitting there remembering those cold, dark winter days when we were sitting there looking at our phone, tracking the flight across the country. You know, the whole saga, fans were excited. Shohei Ohtani is going to be a Blue Jay. Didn't happen, so people are pissed off. They're kind of booing him. Maybe they're kind of booing Ross Atkins. Maybe they're just booing life in general. But as we predicted in the last podcast, we predicted this one perfectly. We all sort of knew this was coming. It really, really, really felt inevitable. In Ohtani's first at bat in Toronto, he launched a solo home run off of Chris Bassett, and the fans were like, ah! What are we doing here? We could have had this guy.
Yeah, and it's obviously a ballpark that he hits well in or has hit well in the past. The series, not so much, but you did kind of see it. I remember I was in the office when it happened. He hit it, and I just went, he did it. You knew he was going to do it. It was like Houdini getting out of his cuffs. He was like, oh, shocker, he did it. No, it was almost the perfect curtain call for Shohei Ohtani when he's getting all those boos. Is just watch that ball, and that's going to be a souvenir. And that would have been great. It would have been exactly what this Blue Jays lineup needed right about now.
Yeah, could you imagine having that nice big left-handed power hitting bat right in the middle of the lineup? It sure would look real good. But hey, that's life. The Blue Jays didn't sign Shohei Ohtani. What do you think about fans booing him? Like, there's on the last podcast, Tyler talked about it, and he got fired up about it. We know he's pissed off about it still, but you're a half and half fan. You're a Blue Jays fan / Dodgers fan, so you got a weird little bias going on. But if you're putting on only your Blue Jays hat and you forget about LA for a second, do you think Blue Jays fans are really justified in booing a guy who showed legitimate interest in signing with them, but then didn't? Is this justified?
I do think it's justified. I mean, fan bases are going to feel slighted by the littlest of things. We know that. We've seen it in years past of the little things players will do, and you'll go, oh, I hate this guy forever. Shohei Ohtani, on the other hand, didn't exactly do something tiny. I mean, I remember, again, when we thought we were tracking Shohei Ohtani's plane and, oh my God, he's landing and he's here. There's a press conference that's going to happen at 4:00 and we're all like, we had merch already ready for this guy for BJN. Like, this was, it seemed like a foregone conclusion. We were just waiting for the good old wave from the plane and go, wow, he's here, it's done. But I understand it. I also understand that there is an entire plan, not necessarily plan, but there has to, you're a free agent, you're trying to get the most amount of money, the best possible situation as you can in whatever given team that you're in. So if you're, and I don't really believe in the whole, oh, he was using the Blue Jays for leverage thing here, because he was given apparently that offer to every other team in that was in the running for him. So I do think it was warranted, but I also think it's just a matter of fans being fans and going, that guy was almost a Jay. That was almost the best Jay of all time. So I think there's a little bit of a give and take for it, too.
He had what I thought was probably the right quote to say after, just to kind of feel the, like, whether he believes what he's saying or not. But he said the right thing, which was, fans boo opposing players out of love for their own team. You can feel the love for the game of baseball, and I have a great respect for that. I mean, I think what he's saying is pretty accurate. Like, whether the booing, it probably didn't bother him at all. Maybe it charged him up a little bit, but this is just one of those things in sports that I think is pretty harmless. Like, it's something for fans to care about, something to get them fired up, something to bring them out to a ballpark or the ballpark on a Friday night and get them going. I don't think it's terribly malicious or anything. I think baseball needs more of these sort of little weird rivalries, just different reasons. Like, there's no reason for the Blue Jays and Dodgers to have any rivalry whatsoever or any sort of beef or really anything interesting beyond just, you know, the big names in the matchup. But if Blue Jays fans feel they've been slighted by Ohtani because his agent didn't come on Twitter that afternoon and tell everybody that he wasn't actually on the flight, then sure, feel pissed off about it and go ahead, continue to boo him every time you face him. It is what it is. It's just good for the banter. That was our first down of the series. It isn't even really a down. It was more just a thing to talk about, kind of like a funny and interesting thing. The second down I have was Chris Bassitt got lit up pretty badly on Friday. And I mean, as we both know, this is a very good LA Dodgers lineup. So it's not like, you know, Chris Bassitt got lit up by the Colorado Rockies or something like that. But 2 2/3 innings pitch, 7 earned runs on 9 hits, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts, and he also allowed 2 dingers. Chris Bassitt, the hound on the mound, the rubber arm, the innings eater, has a 5.64 ERA for the season. It's been a little bit of a mixed bag. There was some really good starts. Remember the one against the New York Yankees, but then also some difficult ones too. He had a hard time early in the season against Tampa, against Houston, and then here against the Dodgers as well. Is there any cause for concern about Bassitt, or is this just one of those starts against a good team?
I don't think there's cause for concern. I don't think concern would be the word that I would use, but I have found with Bassitt that once it starts kind of piling on early, it just kind of keeps going. He was able to recently, not his start against the Jays, but I believe his last one before that. I don't remember which one it was, but had beat up a little early on, and then he got to kind of get into his rhythm a little bit. I think you're going to see that more from Bassitt down the stretch in the season, but it's got to start kind of now if you're going to see some sort of stability from him. I'm not a non-believer in Chris Bassitt, obviously. I mean, we have seen the track record in the past of Chris Bassitt, so I think this is just kind of a, I don't want to say a rough start for the Blue Jays pitchers, because in the games they have won, it has been their pitching that has won them their games. So I think that would be too much of a damper on what this pitching staff has been able to accomplish. And Chris Bassett included. But I think you kind of want to see some sort of progression in Chris Bassett in the rest of, well, most of the pitching staff here coming forward here.
Yeah, I'm on the same page. I'm kind of just like, I mentioned this in the last episode, and it feels like the Blue Jays are pitching in high leverage spots all the time. Like, they're starters. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get to this when I when I get to down number three here, which is the streak of not scoring more than five runs in the game is continued here. The Blue Jays could only manage two runs on the Friday, two on the Saturday, and three runs on Sunday. So now it's 20 consecutive games dating back to April 6th when they're at Yankee Stadium that they've scored five or fewer runs. And that's kind of what I was saying with the Bassett point just there, was that there isn't really much room for the pitching staff. And I think that's pretty taxing. Like, going out there and throwing every fifth day and trying to be an innings muncher is one thing, but then going out into games where you're probably not really expecting your lineup to spot you more than three, four, or five runs, it's high leverage spot. It's high leverage spots. And I don't think we can think Chris Bassett's going to go through and have 30, 35 starts of, you know, all pure quality. Like, it's a pretty big expectation, especially when you're going up against a team like LA, Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, Freddie Freeman. Like, that's probably one of the best, if not the best, 1-2-3 you're going to have in baseball, right? I can't really think of too many teams that have that much at the top of their lineup.
No, goodness no. But the issue was you saw that firepower in game one. You saw just next guy up, boom, next guy up, boom, next guy walk, next guy, like, with that start top of the lineup that can also go through the rest of the lineup too, it can be very difficult to get through. And you saw that in game one. However, on the flip side, and I'm sure we're going to get to this later, it was the pitching and the defense that won them that last game, that third game there. And again, that kind of goes back to what I was saying and along the lines of you can't be too hard on the pitching staff, because when you're going out and beating teams like the LA Dodgers, holding them to a one-run game, you're going to win that most times. But if all three of your runs come out in the first, what, three innings, you're kind of testing the waters a little bit more. I mean, they're lucky that Gavin Lux has been just an absolute shell of his rookie self. He has been awful, and they sent out Michael Bush for the guy, and Michael Bush hit five homers in five straight games. And they're going, no, trust me, Gavin Lux will be fine. That bottom of the lineup for the Dodgers was what really won it, I think, for the Toronto Blue Jays. You were able to get basically past Andy Páez, who has been an absolute revelation so far in his couple of weeks in Los Angeles right now. And it was just, it was like a sinkhole. Austin Barnes couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat right now. Great defensive catcher, but just, again, shell of himself from the last, whenever he could perform back in the postseason.
2017.
So, yeah, exactly. I think I was still in high school then. I wasn't. But again, that pitching, though, and the defense, coming back to it, the fact that they were able to, A, neutralize the top of the order and do what they needed to do at the bottom of the order was exactly what you want to see from the Blue Jays defensively and from their arms.
Yeah, that's a good segue into, I only have two ups for our three ups, because, I mean, let's be real here. I don't think there was three good things to take from that series. But the first up, the big thumbs up, and I thought the most positive thing from this series definitely was that Kevin Gausman looked like his dominant ace self in what I think was definitely his best start of the season, just given the context. He went seven innings, allows just one earned run on five hits, and struck out five batters. It was his longest outing of the season, just slightly longer than his last outing in Kansas City when he went 6 2/3. But before that, it was a bit of a struggle for Gausman. You'll remember the start in New York, which was his second of the year, only made it through four outs and allowed five earned runs. The one against Colorado back at home, a light hitting lineup, 3 2/3 innings, six earned runs. And then one at home against the Yankees, which was fine, but it was only five innings and one earned run. Gausman now looks like the pitcher the Blue Jays need. He was, of course, injured during spring training, couldn't have his normal ramp up, and his starts against Tampa, New York, Colorado, those ones that I just mentioned, they're kind of like regular season spring training starts. So I don't think anybody was sitting there being critical of Kevin Gausman, but what it was the Blue Jays didn't have their ace for the first few weeks of the year, but now it looks like this is the Kevin Gausman the Blue Jays need. It looks like he's himself again.
My favorite part about that start was John Schneider giving him that leash a little bit. He had been really throwing well in that game, and he very easily could have just, the numbers say, going through the lineup for the third time in a row, just it's not a good thing, and give him the yank. They didn't. They let him throw out the rest of his really good, his best start of the season so far. And if you're able to get him going now, we talked about Bassett a little bit earlier too, and you already have the obvious success so far this year of Jose Berríos. Once those three can keep going here, Kikuchi is thrown well again, and Yariel Rodriguez, I thought he threw well against Kansas City too, just kind of unlucky in some senses there too. I mean, if you can get Gausman going here, it's going to be a very, very fruitful future, hopefully, on the pitching staff, on the arms, defensively, and preventing runs in order to try and help this offense to go and win more ball games.
And speaking of the offense, our second up now is a player that had on Sunday what we're all hoping is going to be a breakout performance, which is Alejandro Kirk. He had his best game of the season offensively, went 3-for-3 and hit a home run. It was his first home run of the season, and I'm looking at his game logs, and after that Kansas City game, the last game that he played, the five-inning one, he went 0-for-2 in that one, and his OPS at the end of that game was 451. And then after the 3-for-3 day with the home run, the solo bomb, his OPS jumped all the way up over 100 points to 567. Which is, hey, maybe we get this kind of progression as time goes along and you just see another jump like that in his next game. We're all hoping that Alejandro Kirk's about to start a hot streak, because it's been a while since we saw him at the plate look like that all-star hitter, right? Like, he was an all-star in his first full season. He won a Silver Slugger and then hasn't really been the same hitter since. The defense has been there behind the plate, which is great, but this is a player who, of course, the Blue Jays thought highly enough of Kirk that, I mean, this isn't the full reason it happened, but they thought highly enough of Kirk that they were comfortable moving Gabby Moreno in a trade. It's one that a lot of Blue Jays fans have been critical about, but when Kirk's good, he's good. And it was a game like this on Sunday makes you remember a couple of years ago, this guy was an all-star and a Silver Slugger. He's a damn good catcher.
Yeah, he used to walk more than he would strike out, and now he strikes out more than he sees pitches somehow, which is weird. You mentioned the defense, which for me is the biggest thing, and not only as the player, but to try and help his bat. His defense, he has the most framed strikes of any catcher in all of baseball right now. He is helping that pitching staff and helping that team prevent runs. Now, on the flip side, you need him to also produce runs at the plate, and which obviously we saw against a really good Dodgers team was the pitching situation kind of in the third game. Yeah, sure, that's fair. But to be able to not only get the homer there, but to get on base 3 times, 3-for-3, keep that bat going again, like it seems like a weird situation behind the plate, because you want to see Danny Jansen hitting well, but every single time that he kind of gets into some sort of rhythm and really hitting well, he gets hurt. He breaks his wrist somehow on an inside slider that gets away and hits him in the same spot for the third year in a row. Or Alejandro Kirk is ice cold at the plate, and we all sit here and go, yeah, but he did become a dad last year. So you need more consistency from those, not only Alejandro Kirk and Danny Jansen, but just both Alejandro Kirk in general. It's really good to see. I just want to see him keep it going. It's, for me, it's the consistency. It's great that you can go 3-for-3 in a game against the LA Dodgers in the series finale, but can you do it in game 1, game 2 against the Kansas City Royals in the following series? So let's kind of keep it going here for him. Obviously, the glove and the defensive play is still there for him. So he's going to stay in the lineup, and he's going to get opportunities to keep that bat going. Let's work on it and keep that bat going.
One final Dodgers-related thing to bring up, and this doesn't really fit into the up or the downs. This is sort of just a general comment, was Teoscar Hernandez spoke to Shai Davidi over the weekend. Of course, this was also Teoscar Hernandez's return to Toronto. He was with Seattle last year, played the Blue Jays in Toronto early in the season, and is now back after joining the LA Dodgers on a one-year contract in the offseason. He talked to Shai Davidi over the weekend about his free agency, and he said, at the beginning, the Blue Jays said to not forget about him, but obviously when we exchanged numbers and years and all that stuff, they said they couldn't go that far in terms of length, and that was about it. So basically what this kind of shows is that the Blue Jays had an interest in Teoscar Hernandez, and this was before he wound up signing his one-year deal with the Dodgers, which was essentially the qualifying offer. The qualifying offer this year, of course, was 1 year and $20.4 million, I think it was. And Teoscar got slightly more than that from LA, but it's all being deferred like Ohtani and the other contracts. So a little bit weird, but given what we saw with the Blue Jays in the offseason, they weren't handing out any long-term contracts. Like, they didn't wind up nailing one of those bigger names like Chapman on the re-signing, or Cody Bellinger, who wound up re-signing with the Cubs. The signings they did make were, you know, Kevin Kiermaier, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, Justin Turner, all deals that are 1 or 2 year deals. So Teoscar might have been looking for a 3 or 4 year deal, and the Blue Jays weren't just interested in doing it. And he's had a pretty decent start to the season. He's been like a nice depth hitter for Los Angeles in the middle of their order. And I think a lot of fans can say pretty clearly, like, Blue Jays fans miss having Teoscar in the lineup, but as much as you miss him, and I'm one of the guys who last trade deadline when there was talk about maybe getting Teoscar, I was all for it. This offseason, I was for it as well. But when you kind of look at it, it's sort of, you wonder, well, where is he going to fit? Because if you have Teoscar on your team, he's probably going to DH a lot, but they've already got Justin Turner instead, and Turner's been really good this year. You can't really complain. I think the spot for Teoscar, I guess, would be George Springer's spot in right field, but you can't really have them both in the roster. I understand why fans are upset or they miss Teoscar, I guess. I wouldn't say I understand why they're upset, but I understand that they miss him, but I'm just not sure the fit really makes sense. What do you think about that?
I think he would be exactly what the Blue Jays would need to win. They are lacking power. I mean, let's call a spade here. They're lacking power, and they're lacking the ability to cash in runs. And that's what Teoscar is able to do. I mean, Justin Turner is your best hitter.
39-year-old Justin Turner.
39-year-old Justin Turner, who 10, 15 years ago got DFA'd by the New York Mets for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Like that, and as somebody who has watched Justin Turner for years, who is a really, really strong technical hitter, he's a great hitter, but he shouldn't be your best hitter on the team. And to be able to have a guy like Teoscar Hernandez who can cash in runs, who can hit absolute bombs, and a guy who is also familiar with the team and the city and the culture, it would have been perfect. And then you see him at the start of the year as well pop off with like 4 homers in the first 2-3 series. That really hurts, because then you remember, oh shit, this guy can hit still too. So I understand why. I mean, hell, he's getting paid a hell of a lot of money, and down the stretch for him too. His family is going to be perfect when he graduates, retires. I just really do think the Blue Jays really missed out on not having one more massive hitter, and his name's not Daniel Vogelbach. So I really do think the Blue Jays missed on this one. I know there's only so much somewhere you can put him, but I think he's exactly what you need on this team.
Especially for the vibes too, right? I mean, feels like he was one of those vibe champions that they had when times were good. But Teoscar Hernandez, no longer a Blue Jay. He picked up 3 hits in that series. No home runs, though. That is one thing. Just 3 singles. So Teoscar Hernandez, no dingers against the Blue Jays at the Rogers Center. We will take a break now that we have finished talking about the LA Dodgers. And on the second half, we will preview yet another series against the Kansas City Royals. And we will take a look around the American League East.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
We are back. We are going to take a look around the American League East, which had some really weird, interesting results. The Tampa Bay Rays are now clearly, or not clearly, it's only one game back of the Blue Jays, but they're on their own in last in the American League East. They were swept by the Chicago White Sox this weekend. How does that happen?
And you know what? I think the Rays really fooled us at the start of the year. I think Yandy Diaz got into that really hot start for absolutely no reason. But ever since then, I mean, Tampa Bay has battled injuries. We know there are problems with the pitching staff. And the fact that Aaron Civale could potentially be your number one pitcher right now is kind of concerning too, arguably. But he's been worse as his starts go on. I was checking his ERA in the last couple of games each game that he played the other day, and each game they went up from like a 1.29 to a 1.37 to a 4.2 to a 7 to a 9. Like, that's concerning, and I think that's also kind of what we're seeing in the Rays season, is that they're just getting, maybe not worse is the right way to put it. They're not getting the results that we thought they would as we keep going. But B, I just don't see any real stars, I guess, on that team outside of Randy Arozarena. Like, I don't think there's anybody who's really carrying some sort of offense. I mean, Jose Caballero has been really good. He has, I believe, 7 steals off the top of my head this season. He has been really good for them as well. But I mean, that kind of Yandy Diaz has seemed to kind of plateau from where he was off the top of the year. So I'm kind of concerned from what I'm seeing from the Tampa Bay Rays here. I think they might be the real basement dwellers of the AL East this year.
They might be. The team that we thought that was going to finish in the basement was the Boston Red Sox, and they are now 16-13 following 2 wins over the Chicago Cubs, one of which was a 17-0 spanking, and then the one on Sunday was a walk-off. So yeah, the Boston Red Sox are now 2 games up on the Toronto Blue Jays. They're in third place in the American League East. The Red Sox are an interesting team because they're dealing with a ton of injuries. I think 3 out of their 5 members of their starting rotation are now on the injured list. Only 2 of their main starters are still there. Some position players are banged up as well. And I saw a rumor that I'm not really sure if it was a rumor, if it was just speculation, but there was a suggestion that the Red Sox might be a nice suitor to sign former Blue Jay and current free agent Brandon Belt to give them a nice big left-handed bat. Maybe. I don't know. The Red Sox are off to a decent start. They're off to, I think, a slightly better start than we would have expected. But I don't know. Maybe Brandon Belt's the answer in Boston.
Yeah, well, I think you kind of said it right there. It's a better start than we expected. And on top of that, I mean, they have had injuries on top of injuries on top of injuries on top of injuries. And I could see Brandon Belt getting a shot there. I mean, Tristan Cassis just went down with, I believe he has two fractured ribs or cracked ribs, if I'm not mistaken there. And he's going to miss some time. Maybe I'm thinking of Cody Bellinger, but I know he has injured ribs there. It's cool to see, I guess, because you're kind of seeing the depth from them. Sedan Rafaela has been, I'm sure I'm saying that name wrong, but Rafaela has done really well in his first real test, I guess, in the MLB. What's the other name? Willier Abreu as well has had a pretty decent first couple of games up here this year for the Red Sox. So they're getting players who can plug in and be productive on this team. And that's what you need. It's funny because it's kind of the polar opposite, not polar opposite, I guess, of what the Blue Jays get. But when Kevin Kiermaier goes down, you call up Addison Barger to go out and play outfield, who's never played an inning of outfield before. And you're like, best of luck, buddy. And you're not getting that production, I guess, from him because you're not putting him in the right situation. The Red Sox, however, have been able to supplement those injuries. Guys like Tyler O'Neill, who was the MLB league leader in home runs to start the year and gets smashed in the face by Raffy Devers, and Raffy Devers has to miss time as well. And those are just some of the position players, not to mention the pitchers that have gone down, like Brian. I know I say it wrong all the time. I'm still going to say it. Brian Baio. It's Bello, whatever. He's gone down recently as well. Lucas Giolito's gone down. Nick Pivetta, Garrett Whitlock. Like, they have a laundry list of injuries, but the fact that they're still not only competitive but above the Toronto Blue Jays right now is very impressive.
Maybe a testament to the work that Chaim Bloom did there during his few seasons. He was much maligned by fans in Boston. They did not like the Chaim Bloom years, but the prospects, the farm system in Boston, they ain't bad. So moving along, though, the Baltimore Orioles lost 2 of 3 to the Oakland Athletics, who were surprisingly not as bad this year as I would have expected. They were way worse last year. The interesting thing about Baltimore, though, the big story there now is that number one prospect Jackson Holliday has been sent back down to AAA after 10 games. He only has 2 hits across those 10 games and has a 0.59 batting average. The OPS is at 170, struck out 18 times, and has only walked twice. There was interesting comments by Baltimore's GM, and he talked about how, I mean, there's only so much data you really have on situations like this. You got a 20-year-old who's putting up the numbers he did in the minors, and through 12 games at AAA this year in April, he put up a 986 OPS. He walked 13 times and struck out 9 times. It's kind of like, what can you really do? Like, it seems as though the gap between AAA and the majors is significantly high. But we saw this with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. too, of like, he absolutely lit up AAA, and then he came up and didn't do the same thing. And people asked, well, you know, why'd you bring him up so quickly? But the same people who all said that were the ones being like, oh, the only reason he's down right now is to manipulate his service time, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, you just don't know sometimes. You don't know if a guy's going to kill it in AAA and then come up to the majors, because also consider the other pitching he's going to face. Nobody wants to be the guy who's going to allow the first career home run to some 20-year-old phenom. Nobody wants that. You don't want to be that guy. So I'd bet you that all the opposing pitchers were finding a little bit of an extra gear for Jackson Holliday when he was up. What do you think about that whole situation? You don't think there's no talk about bust whatsoever, is there? There's no suggestion that that's going to be the case.
No, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is that's probably what my batting line would have looked like too if I got called up.
You think you'd get 2 hits?
I probably could fist a couple through the middle of the infield, and my hands would be sitting there going, like my one base hit off Mike Soroka in my career. yes, I'm going to bring that up right now. But there's no concern, I think, about Jackson Holliday. I mean, he came up with so much fanfare, and I think the big thing, too, that kind of goes against the cause for concern is it's the Baltimore Orioles. I mean, take a look at their entire basically roster, and they're all guys they've drafted, they've brought up. Jordan Westberg, they just called up Heston Kerstad too. Adley Rutschman is arguably the best catcher in baseball, if he's not already, he can be. Colton Cowser's had a fantastic start to the year as well. I mean, I'm missing some Gunnar Henderson. There we go. I'm missing Gunnar freaking Henderson. I mean, he was a rookie of the year last year. So I'm not concerned about Jackson Holliday. I just think he needs some extra time. And I think the thing that also kind of helped Jackson Holliday at the start of the year was just how good the Norfolk Tides are. Like they are, they seem like the Harlem Globetrotters of minor league baseball right now. You go in there and you're going, oh man, it's this guy, this guy, this guy. Now it's Jackson Holliday. Now it's Kobe Mayo. Like it's a tough team to go up and play against. And I think going into each game at AAA with your chin up high and knowing that your shit don't stink is kind of pretty easy to do. And then you go into the MLB and you're standing there across from Cutter Crawford, who is just, like you said, he doesn't want to give up the first hit, first homer to a guy. And 18 strikeouts compared to his 9 in AAA is not great, but I think that also gives him the, not advantage, but gives him the experience of seeing major league pitching and being able to adjust from, okay, this was AAA, this was major leagues, I've seen what I've seen from the major leagues, let's change what I did in the major leagues when I have these extra at bats in the minor leagues. And so the next time I come up into the major leagues from the minor leagues, I'm just going to keep saying major and minor leagues, when I come back up from the minor leagues to the major leagues, I know what I'm doing and I can make an impact when I come back.
So we do think he's going to be back at some point this season. I don't think Jackson Holliday is going to be down in AAA all too long. But moving along to our final American League East opponent, we have the New York Yankees, who won 2 of 3 in Milwaukee. They were walked off on Friday, and then they won back-to-back games by the score of 15-3. The Yankees are now 19-10 on the season, and they're doing really quite well, despite the fact that Aaron Judge hasn't been great this year. He's been fine. He has a 7.77 OPS. We would all take that on Toronto's lineup. But really the only guy who's been doing a lot of the heavy lifting for New York thus far is Juan Soto, who's batting 318, 9.97 OPS. The pitching's been fantastic, despite the fact that there's no Garrett Cole just yet. The New York Yankees, they didn't make the playoffs last year, but they made the big trade in the offseason to get Juan Soto. They're in first in the AL East right now. Do you think they are the team to beat here, or is it still Baltimore?
Nah, I think right now it's the New York Yankees. The moves that they made this offseason were obviously very intentional. They wanted to be the best team in the AL East, and they weren't going to do it by having their own homegrown talents like the Baltimore Orioles. They were going to have to go out there, get on the market, and try and compete in that sense with guys off the market. You went and got Juan Soto. We also tend to forget that Trent Grisham was a part of that trade as well. Who was the other? Oh, and Alex Verdugo, former Dodger, of course. How could I forget Alex Verdugo? Who centerpiece to the Mookie Betts trade. And he has been fantastic for them too this year. I mean, it's the additions for the Yankees that have been fantastic. And they're without Garrett Cole. Nestor Cortez is keeping the barrel alive, keeping the ship afloat, I guess is what I'm trying to say here. They're just getting contributions from everybody here, and whether or not, you know what, you have the stat, do you still have the stats in front of you here for the Yankees?
Yeah, I can pull them back up. I was looking ahead to Kansas City, but I'll pull them back up.
I just wanted to know what Oswaldo Cabrera's numbers are right now, because he started the year hot. He has been, outside of Juan Soto, one of the best contributors for that Yankees team.
Yeah, 269 batting average, 719 OPS, 3 dingers, 4 doubles, driven in 16 runs. Pretty solid from the outfield.
16 runs. And hey, I'm pretty sure he's playing third base for them.
Playing third base. Yeah, he was an outfielder last year, third base this year. The Yankees are doing their thing. The starting rotation's been good too. Nestor Cortez, like you mentioned, 3.50 ERA. Rodon last year after that disaster season down to 2.48. Marcus Stroman, who always felt like he'd be a good Yankee, is at 3.69, really good. Luis Gill down to 4.01. We remember him when he was pitching against the Jays, terrible command problems. And Clark Schmidt, 3.55 ERA to round it out. That's really good pitching, and the bullpen strong too. Like I do agree. It looks like New York's division.
Well, and you mentioned Luis Gil is his location problem, but the other thing next to it too is he strikes out a lot of guys too. And I think two of his last three starts or two of his last four, he struck out eight. And in another one of those, he struck out six. So, I mean, once you're getting more than five strikeouts in a game, and he's done it three times this year, especially for a guy who just got his first career win, I think that those are impressive numbers.
And the Blue Jays are 3-3 thus far against New York. They'll have one more meeting in New York, one more in Toronto. We'll see how those ones go. It's an interesting one. But next up this week, just after facing them last week four times, four miserable, unwatchable slogs, the Blue Jays will be back again to face the Kansas City Royals three times this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday series, before there will be an off day on Thursday, and then it will be on the road to face the Washington Nationals, the zombie corpse of the Montreal Expos, of course, on Monday for the Blue Jays against Kansas City. It'll be Yariel Rodriguez going against a rookie named Jonathan Bolin, who has done Jonathan Bolin, apparently, he's done quite well in AAA, 2.57 ERA in four games started. Since he's going up the Blue against the Blue Jays in his first career start, it's probably going to be six shutout innings. It's going to be like the Ryan Merritt, Mallett, whatever his name in situation. It's not always ideal when a pitcher makes their big league debut against the Blue Jays. Game two, it's going to be Jose Berríos going up against Cole Reagans. This was the exact matchup that we had in that weird five-inning game last week, the final of the series. Berríos allowed, of course, that two-run bomb to Sal Perez and then got saddled with a very unfortunate loss in that one. And then the third game in this series will be Chris Bassitt, who, as we talked about earlier, just had a rough one against the Dodgers. Hopefully he rebounds against Kansas City. He's going up against Seth Lugo, who the Royals signed in the offseason and is doing very well. He's got a 1.66 ERA through six games started, 38 innings pitched in total. The Royals are a team that we kind of got used to for a few years being bad, and I don't think they're bad anymore. I don't know if they're a contending team, if they're going to make the playoffs when it's all said and done, but this isn't a team where you see them on the schedule and you're like, oh yeah, the Royals, there's an easy win, maybe a sweep. This is a team that pitches well. They've got some good hitters. They're not a bad team at all.
No, they're not a bad team at all. And kind of similar-ish to the Baltimore Orioles, relatively brought up from their homegrown talent. They're a smaller market that you heard. Oh, they're a smaller market through. It was Bobby Witt Jr. signs his big contract with a smaller market team. But the Royals have always, relatively always, there's been patches where they haven't been, but they've always been a very strong and or difficult out for not only the Blue Jays, but for a lot of teams. And now we're seeing the real growth and development of Bobby Witt Jr. We're seeing guys like Cole Reagans step up into very, very, very strong company too. He's obviously one of the best, not only pitchers on the staff or pitchers in the AL at all, but one of the best pitchers in the league too, and the best young pitchers too. So, it's interesting because I'm happy that it's not in Kansas City in that absolute hellhole of a baseball stadium. I can't stand that place. Even anytime, even playing in MLB The Show, every time I play the Kansas City Royals, I skip that shit. I cannot stand that ballpark.
Bad memories.
Awful memories. Oh, no. Oh, that just brought back the reach over. Yep.
Just thinking of that called strike on Ben Revere, thinking about that kid with the beard reaching over, thinking about Dalton Pompey standing on third base, all of it. Oh, it's a stadium that I never want to watch baseball there.
That was a good one, too. But no, I'm just happy that this is going to be inside a dome, too, because you mentioned that Jose Berríos. That's his only long year. And the guy didn't even get to put out an entire start. It was a rushed game from the start. The umpires were calling balls in the other box because, oh, crap, guys, we're going to get wet here soon. And they just called it off there. So you need a bounce back. I think you especially need a bounce back in this series after the Dodgers series. You saw glimpses of what you want from your offense, especially early in that third game of the series. Go out there, jump them early, get your runs, let your pitching staff do their thing. You have three great starters in this series, Yariel Rodriguez, Jose Berríos, and Chris Bassitt. go and utilize them, and also go and give them some sort of support. That is the biggest thing right now for the Blue Jays, is giving their pitchers support instead of their pitchers giving their batters support.
Yeah, the Blue Jays need to score some runs, but just as Toronto has good pitchers going in this one too, this isn't going to be an easy one to score runs. And Jonathan Bolin, like I said, he's got those great numbers in AAA. Yeah, Blue Jays don't usually do well against guys in their debuts. Cole Ragans, you just got finished talking about. He's been excellent. And Seth Lugo, same thing, 1.66 ERA. So if I were to venture a guess, I'm going to go and say I'm confident the Jays are going to win 2 of 3 in the series against Kansas City, but I do not think that they're going to break their non-scoring run stretch. I think it's going to be 3 more games with 5 or fewer runs. I don't think this series against Kansas City is the one that we're going to see them finally pop off for some runs.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think if you could break it out of that curse, you could jump Bolin early and try and get into his head and be like, hey, this is the majors, buddy. You're in our home. You're in our dome. We're going to take advantage of this. I think that may be their best opportunity, or I also think they're going to take 2 of 3 in this one. I think they'll take the first game, lose the second game, win the third game, win the series ender once Kansas City is ready to go off on their trip. I think they might be able to maybe try and jump on them there too, but we'll see. That would be my best opportunity for the Toronto Blue Jays, is A, either jump on the new guy early, or B, just let them have it on the travel day.
Yeah, true that. The getaway day, which will be, It'll be 2 evening starts, Monday and Tuesday, and then Wednesday will feature a getaway day before the Blue Jays travel to Washington to face Walgreens. That's all of it from us. That's everything I got written down in the notes. Brett, thank you for jumping in and serving as the analyst. I enjoyed being the host. Tyler will be back from Los Angeles for our next one on Thursday, unless he tries to wind up in Toronto to see them face the Nationals. You never really know, but so we should be back to normal later in the week. It's going to be a bit of an up and down schedule with the NHL playoffs going on and whatnot, but we will be back with something on Thursday. Hopefully we're talking about a series win over the Kansas City Royals, but we will find out. Brett, thank you again.
Best wishes.
Thanks for tuning in to Blue Jays Nation Radio. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.